This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, it's official, right? It's that time of the week. This is the best Tuesday I've had all week. I'm your host, David Littlejohn. Joining me today in studio today.
Justin Bruggeman.
Did I just say today twice?
I think so.
It's the redundancy department of redundancy. Well, welcome to the True Wealth Show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, True Wealth, the stuff that we say, money's how you trade your time. True Wealth is the memories and relationships you build. And today, what are we going to talk about? AI.
Yay.
Clearly. Yeah. Yay. Well, it may not be what you think, right? It may not be that bad. I want to frame this up. First of all, it's because I don't know that I can handle another show about the election.
Right.
Right. It's like everybody's like, well, what's going to happen? I'm like, well, there's going to be an election. Right. And then some people are like, oh, it's going to be good or it's going to be bad or it's going to be stolen or it's going to be this or it's going to be that. And, I can't trust anything. And what it really, I think, boils down to is it's either your team or my team.
Right.
And Gar.
Next week's show might be more about it.
Maybe.
If you're running closer.
I kind of thought about this and thought, what would be genuinely useful for folks to listen to? Like, if I was trying to think, how could we help? And one of the things I realized, I mean, it's been a huge theme in the markets in terms of what's driven this year. Right. I mean, we're just talking at large.
Right.
AI has been this huge mega theme, Magnificent Seven, stock-wise, and it's just been a big driver, right? So the question is so what? What's the thing about AI? And if this is a show about investing and money and everything else, got to thinking, well, maybe we got to just talk about some of the elements of AI. What are the pros? What are the cons? Where can it actually help you? What are some of the gotchas that you need to be careful of? Because there are some, right? And I saw the show kind of evolving this way. We talk a little bit about what AI, why it matters so much. What is it doing? Talk about, hey, for all of you that are do-it-yourselfers out there, some of you guys listen to this program and you're not hiring an advisor, right?
You
do this stuff yourself, but you're tracking knowledge. And so, hey, how can you leverage this stuff, right? So we talk about that. And then some of you are going to say, I have no desire to do that. How do I know if my financial advisor or professional, are they using these tools well?
Right.
And so some of this, maybe if you're another financial advisor, you might even listen to this and be like, that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how we're using it in our practice. Talk a little bit about areas that we are yet to use it that we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but it's really fascinating what this stuff's capable of. So first, let's break it down. If you don't know, AI is artificial intelligence. But if I were to put you on the spot, Justin, what are some of the things, when AI comes to mind? First of all, what is it to you?
Well, robots.
Okay, so it's like the Terminator.
Yes.
Right?
That's what comes to mind first. And then more kind of traditionally how I've typically used it is as a research tool, as a quick way to Google without having to read through every single thing that pops through.
Yeah. So probably one of the most prolific AI things that we see right now. First of all, AI, you might be surprised to learn, it's not computers developing personalities and taking over the world, right? Maybe that's a result of what AI is. That's a concept called the singularity, right? Singularity is a scientific term usually used to reference black holes, right? But the singularity in AI is the idea that AI develops to a point that it becomes self-aware, and then it starts making autonomous decisions without the input of its coders.
Okay.
Okay, that's the concept in basic. At least that's the concept I understand it.
I've seen iRobot.
Yeah. So that would be the big picture. And I think the movies have done a great job of telling us, what if it went really bad?
Right.
We've had that discussion. What I don't necessarily talk about is what if it went really well?
Right.
AI does some things pretty well. For example, it can manage a decision tree pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's what basic AI used to be, was decision tree. What we see now is really complex decision trees, right? So do you know what ChatGPT is based on underneath it, what type of AI it's called?
I do not.
A large language model.
Okay.
Okay. So the large language model, I don't know, I'm not a computer scientist. I can't get deep into the weeds on this one, but I can tell you that large language models are this idea of really big data, right? We've heard big data for a while. And it's the idea that machines are able to evaluate this data, start to recognize patterns, and then from those patterns, learn to recognize other patterns.
Okay.
And so this is how you can get AI to look at writing samples from somebody and then start to develop a way to mimic that writing style. It has not only the initial language model of, well, what's the language?
Right.
But then it can start to say, but there's these nuances that show up in styles. And we can duplicate those styles. If we see enough of it, we can learn to copy it.
Okay.
Right? And so that's the first step. And then you start to see it being applied to things like data. Right? And that's too vague. Things like searching through data. Like if you want to vet for information.
Right.
Now it's able to say, well, let me read all these books and I can summarize it for you.
Right.
Right? Or I can read a library of books and get fish core points about out of it for you. My understanding is it takes a lot of computing horsepower.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And a lot of energy. Right? Like, side note. Some experts, you want to know what they think the number one problem that Bitcoin is going to encounter is with time?
I would say some reason storage is what would come to mind, but I don't really know how it's stored. So.
Right. So less about storage than the computing power that it takes continues to go up.
Okay.
Because of the nature of it's solving equations, right? I mean, sort of these long, difficult equations. And then once an equation is completed, it renders a token, and that token is a Bitcoin. Okay.
Okay.
So it's a digital token, if you will, or the equivalent of an NFT, but specifically a Bitcoin, is minted when that occurs, when the formula gets solved and then it starts over again. But it gets harder every single time. It's what they call a halving. It takes more computing power every time to get more Bitcoin into the future. At what point does it cost more in power than the Bitcoin is worth? Right?
There's
diminishing marginal return.
Okay.
So there's this idea of if you cannot create low cost energy to continue to run these crypto chains, might they become obsolete in that it costs more to mine it than it is worth?
So would that mean it's not infinite?
Well, it's not supposed to be infinite. There's a finite number of Bitcoin that will exist ever.
Okay.
And it's probably never going to reach that potential because people mined it early and then they lost the devices that it was stored on.
Okay.
And those devices were either lost or destroyed, and that Bitcoin is lost or destroyed with it. So, you know, there's been some loss. And so you'll never see all the Bitcoin, probably.
Okay.
I mean, maybe there's some weird cryptography we can guess enough times to reclaim it, but I don't see it happening. So, yeah, that's the issue with Bitcoin. But back to the AI concept. We see it as a tool. Certainly that's what we use it for in our practice. But I guess I would just want to set up this idea that it's not automatically robots that want to kill you, right?
Right.
It is software. Most of it is software that's not hosted on your machine. So it's hosted somewhere in a cloud somewhere. So you access it through the internet. And it can do amazing things, right? And it can take relatively simplistic human inputs, and then it can sort of guess at what you're looking for, and then you can ask it more questions or give it more inputs, and it will keep refining.
Right.
Which is a different interaction than we're used to from computers.
Yes. Right?
It feels more like you're having a conversation with a computer
than
you're trying to, you know, create a really complex search process. It's probably a bit of a threat to the traditional way that we have seen data. If you ever wondered, like, what could threaten Google, right? ChatGPT could.
Yeah.
Okay. Google's not going anywhere because Google has its own version of AI.
Right.
And Google has other services that it does besides AI. But it's fascinating to see how this is used. So with that as our backdrop, right, let's talk a little bit about if you're listening to the show right now, like how can you use AI? And this is not an exhaustive list, by the way. But like, what are ways that you can get started using AI? Some of you maybe already are. And if you're using AI and you've got great ideas, I want to hear about them, right? So I'm going to encourage you, email us. You can send an email to info@littlejohnfs.com. And we will take a look at those. And the best ideas we'll probably bring back up on the radio show, right, too. So we'll share them. But I'd love to hear from you what some of your great AI tools and ideas are. But we're going to spend the next segment of our show talking about how AI is helping the do-it-yourself investor and the startup, how it's affecting pricing, how it's affecting trading, what's going on in the financial ecosystem. But as it turns out, we got to take our first, you know, corporate profit break. So we're going to do that. And then when we come back, then we will get into, you know, the discussion there. So, but for now, stick around. We will be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Justin Bruggeman.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn, in studio today with me,
Justin Bruggeman.
And a reminder, you guys, we're talking about AI today. If you want to get caught up, grab the podcast. It'll be available at all of your favorite podcast locations. You can also go grab it on our website at littlejohnfs.com. So, Justin, looking at, I know we work a lot with our own customer base, but let's talk to our listeners that maybe aren't working with an advisor, or they're not ready for an advisor, right? And that, which is, you know, that can be the case for folks. It's like you're just not at a point where it's appropriate or needed, but you're still trying to get started investing. How is AI changing the game of investing for people today?
Well, other than massive research and things like that, but it'll do, you know, some automatic rebalancing. I know was one. So like portfolio management, it'll do some auto rebalancing, some tax aware trading.
Oh, that's a really cool one. We'll talk more about that in a sec.
And then just, you know, trends and things like that. But it mainly allows people to gather the information to be able to do it.
Yeah. It's crazy because I feel like the consumer has a lot more access to big data these days.
Right.
First, if you track the way information is moved, right, there was a time in investing when the brokerage houses had information that the public didn't.
Right.
Right. And so, like, you went to a broker because they could help you find things that you couldn't find other ways. And then we had this democratization of information with the internet. And then that was really accelerated as we saw broadband rolled out across the nation. And then you saw trading times compress as we saw discount brokerages roll out.
Right.
And now you're seeing this next generation of access to big data. And, you know, AI doesn't always have all the same stuff. I think there's still some institutional advantages with big data.
Right.
But those gaps are really shrinking right now. So talk to me a little bit about the concept of the robo-advisor. Hey, can you give our listeners a sense of what a robo-advisor is?
Well, pretty much is, it's, you kind of, if you know what you're after, you can set up an account, put money in, and whatever parameters you give it, it maintains it throughout until you change it.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you say stop.
And there's, or, I think there's different versions of it, right? There's sort of the done for you, or there's the assists you type advisor. Done for you, there are services out there that will essentially manage an entire account on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
One of the benefits of a robo-advisor, they're pretty inexpensive.
Right.
Right? You're not really paying for personnel.
And right.
So that really keeps the cost low. If you want to leverage index funds, but you want to have some trigger-based, I guess we'll call them trading tactics,
mm-hmm.
right? Then robos do a great job. I mean, this is things like rebalancing, right?
Right.
And just so everybody understands, right? I think we say rebalancing and assume everybody knows, but what are we talking about when we talk about rebalancing?
Adjustments to positions in portfolios, maybe shifting and risks and things, rebalancing a different way. But a lot of them are set up to, you kind of set your kind of goal is where you're at, and then it balances on a monthly or a quarterly and goes back to the percentages you originally set in the beginning.
Right. So if you've got, say, a position that was supposed to be a 10% weighting in your strategy, but it had a really strong quarter and now it represents 13, 14, 15% right. of the asset base, you would potentially sell that and take the gains and sell the position back to a 10% weighting, which was right. your original idea, and then take those gains and use it to buy things that were potentially lower in price,
right?
Right? Like, oh, we were supposed to have a 7% weighting, we're down to 6 because it's doing poorly. And if right. you find yourself thinking, wait, you're going to sell your winners and buy your losers, what I'm going to tell you is absolutely.
Right.
That's absolutely what you're doing. It and the idea being that the winners will pull back and they'll be the future losers, and the losers will recover and they'll be the future winners. And so you're trying to position yourself so that you're buying on the low side and selling on the high side.
Right.
And you're simply doing it by automating the strategy. Now, Justin, what happens if, you know, you sell your 15% position back to 10 and it just keeps going up?
Well, you'll do it again here in a couple months.
Exactly. What you did was you managed the risk in your investments.
Right.
Right. By preventing yourself from being overly concentrated in a growing position. Does that potentially mean you'll make lower returns? Maybe.
Could.
Right? I mean, it could if you just pick something that only goes up forever and outperforms the market forever and you keep diluting yourself out of it, then you will reduce your overall return.
Right.
But we're always making that trade between risk and reward. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of a robo-advisor is it doesn't have emotions.
Right.
Right. So it will follow the tactics and the strategies that you ask it to follow. So, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about for the done-for-you style of AI, though. You know, we just talked about maybe there's a fully robotic and automated system where you don't have to do any thinking. The computer does it for you. What do you say? I mean, how does it work with when you're setting the parameters?
Well, it would depend on what knowledge you have, I guess, would be is to be researching the questions that you want answered with your portfolio, like how you want it designed and how, you know, maybe what things to buy or what not to buy. It'll yeah. depend on the questions that you're asking.
Okay.
If you're doing your own research using AI.
Yeah, so the research driven side of it, but then I'm thinking of the actual investment management itself. You know, you could literally set your own weightings and your own
yeah.
sell criteria or buy criteria, and then you could kind of automate it, and that AI can follow it through for you now.
Right.
And the reason I'm talking about this stuff is this wasn't necessarily available in the past.
You
didn't have these tools that would automate like this and that could kind of watch the market without sleeping.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's just this tireless, relentless watchdog of your investment strategy. And now that can be great, but it can also be not great.
Okay. Right?
Now, I will say we're going to talk about a little bit later some of the pitfalls of AI and where there's gotchas. But you know, right now, I just want to focus on here's the stuff that it can really do well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the ability to do research, it's great because you can ask cool questions.
Yes.
Like you ask weird Anything. Questions to AI and it helps you figure stuff out. I'm trying to give an example of something that we've asked it before, but I know we've said things like, hey, show me, by the way, it's not advice, right? But like we've done screening before. So, hey, show me all the stocks that are in the Wilshire 5000 that are above a $5 billion capitalization rate, have daily trading volume in excess of $100 million, have a PE ratio under 15, and have 3 years of investment growth, but are off 20% from their highs within the last 9 months. Right. And you're like, wait, you could, what? It'll find them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then after that, you go, oh, sort them by beta.
Right.
And all of you guys just said, I don't know what he's talking about. So you don't have to. You don't have to. But let me tell you, AI can do that. That right. could have taken hours to scrub before. And AI can do it in a fraction of a second. It's remarkable.
It is beyond remarkable.
It's unbelievable how certainly how much it has impacted our ability to really refine our investment process.
Right.
It's fantastic. But let's talk about this for a second, because this is such a cool feature, and it's one I'm not trying to catch you on your heels, Justin, but I know you've used some of this a little bit, and you can uniquely speak to this. Talk about the tax management that can come with these AI tools now. Like, what does it do? What's it thinking? Why do we care?
Right, because, well, depending on the type of account, one, if it is an after-tax account, how long you hold positions matters for taxes, whether it's long-term or short-term capital gains. Mm-hmm. And especially the software can realize, say, something's about to turn into a long-term capital gain, say, within 30 days. So that may change your decision on whether you're going to sell at that time or not. Mm-hmm. And when it'll rebalancing into the other positions, it'll do it tax-aware, where it'll, you know, sell some of the losses against some of the winners to offset the taxes in the account.
Yeah, it's really cool. If you know much about the theory of investment management outside of retirement accounts mostly,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, if you've got gains and losses, you can intentionally harvest gains and losses right. against each other to sort of remain tax neutral, but reposition things in the portfolio. The other thing that's clever about that is that sometimes you can sell a position, but you can buy something else to hold sort of a proxy for the position.
Right.
There are tax ramifications to flipping in and out of stocks too quickly. Mm-hmm. There's something called a wash sale. Not going to go into a lot of detail on the show today, but just be aware, you know, that if you're trading a lot, wash sales are something that you need to be aware of.
Yep.
Software can avoid wash sales. Right.
Yes.
It can be told how to proxy a holding in order to maintain a position space while you're realizing a capital gain or loss, and then it can tell you when to automate, you know, get back into the original position
right.
after your wash sale period has ended. It's really cool, and it takes something that would otherwise be very manual, very labor intensive,
mm-hmm.
and again, it automates it in a way that just, it kind of blows me away that when I look over the course of my career, I mean, it was like spreadsheets and a lot of work.
Right.
And now, you know, a couple of button clicks and you can do what used to take days of work in mm-hmm. seconds.
Yes.
So these are examples of AI just radically enhancing productivity, but also the potential profitability. Fun, but you know, some of the studies, I know Vanguard's pretty famous for this, right? You know, the big index fund company.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a number of studies that have suggested, now be careful, right? This is like tooting advisor horns here, but they've touted the benefit of having a financial professional mostly because of mistake avoidance.
Right.
Right? But imagine having a financial professional that can help you avoid unforced errors, but then can simultaneously leverage tools to improve tax efficiency.
Right.
And so there's, through proper rebalancing, risk management, tax efficiency, and simple mistake avoidance, they have shown that advisors can demonstrate additional returns. And sometimes it could be a few hundred basis points or more. That's, you know, 1-3% more because of professional management.
Right.
They're not doing anything other than some of these cleanup things that we're talking about. You know, just making sure that the system is aware, oh, you have cash that's unproductive. Make sure it's in an interest-bearing environment.
Right.
Oh, you have these positions where you could harvest some losses right now and reposition them right back into something else you want. Okay, and it can give you these alerts, and you can do that. It's great. So anyway, I think that the timing for DIY investors has never been better.
Right.
I mean, the tools out there that are available and the price point at which you can access it are just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for the investment opportunities for people. Of course, remember, we got to make sure that we're doing the other, like all the investing in the world, it's really novel, but you know, you start running around saying, I'm going to get into Robinhood and I'm going to trade the heck out of $50 a day. I'm like, you double your money in a week and you made $50. You could have gone and made a few decent financial decisions and saved a little bit and probably done better.
Right.
So proper application of resources yeah. still matters, right? But I love what AI is doing for investors. So how do advisors use it? I know it's a heck of a question.
Yeah, like so, research is mainly.
yeah.
you know, a big aspect.
So many ways that advisors use it. Let's do this. We're about the halfway point. We got to take another station profit break here. So we'll do that. When we come back, if you're wondering, because maybe you're working with an investment professional, maybe not, but what tools are they using? You can ask them about these things. You can certainly ask us about it. We'll talk about how AI is changing financial practices. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Justin Bregman.
Yeah, True Wealth. On News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Back to the True Well Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Justin Bregman.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Going to just kind of dig back in. Today, we're talking a little bit about artificial intelligence, and I want to talk about how this is changing our practice.
Okay.
So that's what this segment is all about. I kind of thought about it as, well, what is it for tools for advisors, right? But I think I can't tell what other advisors she's using. I can just tell folks what we are leveraging and how it's making a big difference. Part of me feels like there's this, is there's a risk that you're giving away trade secrets? But then I realize, like, no, you still got to do the work, right? There's no risk to this. This stuff is available. But let's talk about some of the things in our world that are just like significant game changers, you know. And I think the first one really has been ChatGPT, right?
Yes.
You know, I don't think a day goes by that I don't use it for something right now.
Pretty regularly.
You know, it proofreads things.
Yes.
It's a great idea generator. When we do brainstorms, we oftentimes will ask it to help us get started. And it's that, it's the never shy team member that will say whatever's on its mind and get us going.
Right.
I love that. You know, research. It's a huge one. Yeah. I mean, we've said that a few times. What are some of the things that you're using it for, Justin, research-wise?
I mean, research is, well,
like what's research mean, first of all? I mean, that's kind of a broad term. So, like, what are some things that you like to use for?
Mainly fundamental research of companies, because that is, it's one of those things that it is just pulling data from, you know, and it saves a ton of time, and you can, you know, analyze 15 different companies in the same sector even that are similar and say, you know, what are their fundamental data, you know, their PE ratio, how much debt they have, and it'll just populate it really quickly, which normally would take, you know, you may have to go to 7 different websites and pull the data and plug it into a spreadsheet. So use it to gain efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And free up time.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge time saver. Although I will admit, I still have sort of a trust but verify attitude about this.
100%.
So it will turn things over. And then what it does is it gives us the opportunity to confirm data rather than having to seek it. Most of the time it checks out.
Yeah.
Most of the time. But I think that's really critical, is that AI is probably not at a point where it should be allowed to be unguided.
Yeah. Because if you switch, depending on how you ask it questions, determines the answer it gives you.
Very much so.
And if you're not exactly sure how to answer the question, you don't know what it's going to spit back at you, because you could be asking it wrong.
It's true. It's true. And we've even played that game. Yes. We've actually, I know that like within our office, I think we've asked it the same question, identical question, and gotten different answers.
Right.
From it, depending on who and when it's being asked and so forth. So, yeah, it's fascinating that it has its own personality, if you will.
Yeah.
Here's a cute thing, by the way. Sometimes AI, this is not our term. You know, Matthew, who's oftentimes on the show, has talked about, sometimes AI is a little lazy, right?
Mm-hmm. It'll just say,
you just don't need to do this. And you're like, no, you need to do this. And then it's like, oh, okay, here you go. And it's like the joke, it's kind of like a teenage kid in the morning. It's like, leave me alone. And you're like, no, go do your chores. Like, fine. but it's research is a huge one. I'll tell you one that has been a real game changer is note-taking and workflows.
Yes.
I mean, that's a huge one for me. We've always taken notes and still do, but having AI be able to summarize notes, connect it to our different software systems that, you know, trigger workflows behind the scenes and connect different things mm-hmm. together. Wow.
It saves a ton of clicks.
Yeah.
In that way, is assigning tasks and follow-ups, and you still can verify it quickly. It just mm-hmm. spits it out.
If I had to guess, and I'm probably conservative in this, I'll bet you that over the course of a month, AI saves me about 2 days worth of work over the course of a 30-day time period.
Yeah, probably.
You know, I mean, if I had to do
it, it probably adds a day back in of unrelated research, probably in the process.
Yeah, the serendipity search is real. Like, right. Have you seen this? Check this out. Right. I'm not going to say that we like productively claimed all the time it created. We filled it with completely other useless nonsense on occasion, but it has been really, really good at. Well, it's very good at. I love just getting writing projects started.
Right.
I mean, invariably, we have to edit stuff because it makes mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a good first draft generator.
Yeah.
And, you know, since this is, well, when you're literally inventing a letter out of the ether, there's not really a plagiarism event here, right? You know, we're not using it to take a test or something. This is the example of, hey, kids, learn math and then use a calculator in real life.
Right.
Because you need to know why it works in case the answer case comes back unrecognizable and you're like, oh, there's your problem.
Right.
AI is like that. Learn how to do it for real so that AI can help you rather than you relying on AI and then you don't know when it betrays you.
Right. Yeah.
But it's really cool. Here's another thing that AI is proving to be quite interesting for. It seems to have the ability to perform calculations, and it has the ability to do some basic software. Like, it could do some basic formula making right now in spreadsheets, for example.
Right.
It could do more heavy lifting than that. It will actually provide you code, but like in our office, we're not writing code and, you know, putting it in assemblers and building software on our own.
Right.
But it's interesting because we darn near could hire that part out, and it could do a lot of the sort of design work mm-hmm. for us for an initial design if you're real clear about what you want. And all of this is happening in a practice where, you know, there's still a lot of regulations and still there's just a lot of sort of, we'll call it blue sky, an opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about what it's doing in our firm for the, I use the term productivity, really is speed. We could just do things a lot faster than we could before. And I think, well, here's a question. Like, this is just editorial question for you, Justin. Like, where do you think the financial planning tools themselves go with AI?
That's honestly a really good question. And I don't know if it's, I think everybody wants different things from planning software. And so you feel like you have to go to all different places to find the information for even that client or this situation. And I kind of hope personally that it puts it all into one eventually. And then you can ask it the questions you need to ask it and have reasonings with it for planning purposes.
Yeah. I'm less optimistic that it's going to be that easy in the future, just
I
because
want it to be, but
everybody's
not.
Life is, there's sort of these so modules, different. Right? I mean, financial planning occurs in modular events, but then you have to assemble the modules to get together and get the data to talk to each other.
Right.
Just follow me for a second, right? Like, maybe you're out there and you say, well, I have, you know, I have a 401k at work, and, you know, my spouse has a 401k at their job, or maybe they have a pension from something. And you start to look at this situation of, like, the kids are already out of the house, you know, we're trying to do this, that, and the other in retirement. Okay, well, those are different modular needs, right?
Right.
The retirement planning aspect of each individual retirement account, the composite of all the resources, how much money do you need to manage your retirement lifestyle?
Right.
There's probably Social Security in that equation. Maybe there's some pension optimization within that equation. And then there's some tax optimization within that equation. You think, okay, those all layer together. That's different than somebody who's self-employed and has to decide, well, which retirement plan do I need?
Right.
How much should go into a retirement plan versus not? You know, how can I optimize my business expenses? You know, whether or not I need to hire employees, different needs set, right? Still married, have other things, have kids at home, maybe have other properties. There's other modules that would be applied to their circumstance.
Right.
And some of them will overlap, right? Oh, we both have retirement plans. All right, those are overlap.
Right.
We don't both have investment real estate. Okay, those don't. Estate planning. Hey, you know, do you need a will or do you need a trust or do you need both or what?
Right.
Those are all, you know, how much life insurance is appropriate? You know, do you have a need for life insurance at all?
Right. Even property and casualty insurance at that point.
Exactly.
You know, limits and things like that.
So I love the idea that if you could get those modules to better talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
it'd be huge. I mean, they all exist separately right now.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't see them coming together anytime soon, dirty little secret, but behind the scenes, and this is probably a nice segue into what ought to be the last segment of the show, but one dirty secret is that the data format behind the scenes isn't the same.
Yeah.
Different softwares use different formats of data, and so it's not as easy as, like, with human conversations, we sort of interpret and extrapolate and figure it out and move the data where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Computers don't necessarily intuitively do that.
Right.
And maybe they're moving that way. AI's maybe. Getting smarter. Maybe it can move that way. But this is the closest we've been to the holy grail of financial planning software. And yet it still feels like even as amazing as AI is, it feels like AI would be way more dangerous than reliable if we tried to get it to do it right now.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. And so that really is the conversation. What about the pitfalls of AI? Well, I say we do this, Justin. Why don't we grab our last break? Okay, about that time on the clock. When we come back, pitfalls in general, or maybe not pitfalls, let's think about it as things that we should be aware of.
Yes.
Gotchas. And if you're smart, you may just come out ahead by avoiding these things and leveraging things to your advantage. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Justin Brueggemann.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, it's time for the home stretch of the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Justin Brueggemann.
And just a reminder, shameless plug, if you find any of this stuff interesting, or more importantly, you find that you are at a spot where, hey, I have financial questions and I'm not sure where to go. I always tell you, find someone that you like and trust. And if you don't have that someone in your life, give us a shout. Lots of ways to reach us. Main phone, 541-375-0898. You can email to info@littlejohnfs.com. And if you are, you know, really tech hip savvy and cool and all that stuff, fire drip, whatever, then you can also text that number. And it will come to us. So, yeah, we're into that. So, hey, Justin, AI, in the last few minutes here, I'm not going to throw it under the bus. It's awesome. But I am going to say sometimes AI can get confused or it misconstrues a question. It'll throw curveballs.
Okay.
First of all, why are we seeing these curveballs? And what are some of the things that are potential gotchas? Not because we hate AI, but because we better understand these things for I think a few reasons. One, we want to use it well.
Yes.
Two, we want to not be fooled by it. Three, we don't want robots to try to kill us. Okay, so in that order, what are the things that we should care about?
I guess it's the reliance of information for me, is I find myself fact-checking it a lot. And it's right. Most of the time.
Right.
And so that part is, and it, to, which I don't even know how to explain that, it can be biased in certain things too. Like it tries to feed you down a certain road, even though you're trying to get a different way sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, that I've definitely experienced that. And it's not just, so I think early on, there are some AI that really got caught. This is, you know, we sometimes talk about this on the show. This is not supposed to be too dark, but like it can have an agenda, like a social agenda.
Yeah.
You know, you ask it for certain, and we know because at some point when it's like, well, show me a picture of Abraham Lincoln, and it's like Abraham Lincoln was not black. But if it shows you like a picture of a black Abraham Lincoln, you're like, huh, well, that's different.
Right.
Right. And you just kind of wonder, why did that happen? And it was probably not because it was a natural language learning model that conjured that. It was because somebody was trying to encourage it down a path, encoding this thing, and they got caught doing it, right, in essence. And so it just tells you that that information may be skewed. And so you have to be aware of that. Okay. All right. Anything else?
I mean, there's... of which I was just reading some of the other ones too, but lack of transparency. Like
huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Like it doesn't have to cite it.
It doesn't cite its sources, does it?
Not all the time. Sometimes it will.
Well, I mean, you could ask it to, but a lot of people don't. We just sort of, it's amazing. The joke, but it's true, is like, well, if it's on the internet, it's true, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of funny jokes about that, but they are true.
You know, regulatory concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy and security concerns. I guess that would be a big one, especially
depending
on what data you're feeding it.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly one for us. I mean, we have some AI tools that we definitely utilize, and they have potential access to information that needs to be secured.
Right.
So for us, it's required us to go through a significant process of vetting to confirm that things are, in fact, secure. Right? So... And you know, I don't know that security is ever perfect, but as good as one can get things secure, that's what you're attempting to do.
Right.
So, all right. So transparency, site sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things to consider too, the algorithm itself, right? I mean, these things were designed to learn a certain way. There can be a sort of embedded bias in how an algorithm views something.
Yeah.
Okay. This is particularly true, less so in like ChatGPT than I'm thinking of like trading software. There's a lot of trading softwares now. They're using AI to generate buy and sell signals, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask, what are the underlying assumptions of those models?
Right.
Right. And that always makes me say, like, remember that markets abhor exploits. Right,
mm-hmm.
It is looking to eliminate exploits in the system. Right, if there's an advantage in the system, other people are searching for it too. When everybody finds that advantage, it ceases to be an advantage.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about that, right? Oh, like I'm 7 feet tall in the NBA, and now everybody's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then 7 feet tall is really not the advantage anymore, is it?
Yeah. You need to be 8 feet tall.
Feet tall. Yeah, that's it. Now, we'll make the basket 15 feet tall.
Right.
So there are just, we change the game if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
But the market's constantly evolving because exploits rarely last.
Right.
And so I always think, what was the program thinking?
Why?
By design. And so that, I think that does influence what you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have this theory that there's three kinds of people in the world that use AI, right?
Okay.
Talked about this a little bit. Yep. Right? So, there are really people that, and since the good news is none of our listeners fall in this category, right? Because we only have brilliant listeners, but there are people out there that are idiots. I'll just say it, right? I'm not gonna pull my punches. It's like, there are people that are idiots. AI may save them from themselves.
Maybe.
Right?
Hopefully.
Right? Then there are people that are pretty sharp, and AI can make them super productive.
Right.
And then there's a big chunk in the middle of the bell curve where AI can make you dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you just believe it, it can take you down a path in a hurry, and it can take you to an area where you're really mistaken. I am most worried about this for people that operate on limited information but form significant opinions quickly.
Right.
Right. Here's my one political statement. Well, here's a political statement today. I can never say one. I'll blow that one, right? We operate on low information all the time, all of us.
Yep.
One of the most common things I see is when you hear like, oh, look at the economic policy of you know, right now the presidency. And then I go, you do realize that any of these policies largely must be approved through Congress before they get to the president, right?
Right.
Which means this is not the president's policy. This is Congress putting something through, and that means it has to get through a bipartisan enough process to get to the president's desk in the first place. But we have a president out there campaigning like they're king and not president.
Right.
And a lot of people lap it up. So I just encourage people, the more information, the better. And keep in mind this one, too. This one will really irk you. A lot of folks get so locked into their opinion that if you get information counter to that, it will actually, you could actually be wrong, but you will be more cemented into your belief structure because you don't want to deal with the contradictory information. Well, anyway, end of the show. We got to run. So, Justin, this is a final chance. How do people reach us?
You can call us at 541-375-0898 or email us at info@littlejohnfs.com or visit our website, littlejohnfs.
All right. There you go. So we'd love to hear from you. Again, initial consults are always free. So we'll see what we can do from there. But until next time, we're out of time. So thanks for tuning in. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Justin Bruggeman.
You've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.